If you think trains will stop if they see a car on the tracks, you're right, they will. About a mile after they hit you. In 2015 alone, 230 people were killed at railroad crossings. Don't become the next fatality. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Who's the GOAT, greatest of all time, MJ or Kobe?
As a Laker, I'm going to say Kobe.
Oh, that's smart. He's a smart man.
He's a smart
kid. He knows he's going to see Kobe around the locker room like that. One.
But it's time for the change in the season. You come at this clouds, we feel lit, 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 lit.
Welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where did we just see a preview of the 2022 NBA Finals? Oh my god! Wow! D'Angelo Russell, Ice in His Veins, Part 2. What did we just witness? The players are drunk, we're drunk. It's a crazy night over here. Before I get started, everybody, please follow us on Twitter, at Lakers Legacy Pod. Also, please rate and review us on iTunes, because the more you rate and review us, that's how many times Zubats will randomly call Nance in the middle of the night at like 2 a.m. to ask him for life advice, like, hello, Larry, how do I make pasta noodles soft? Alan, can you do the proper impression of that?
Oh, hello, Larry. Sorry to call you so late. I know you're probably asleep, but what? Time are we supposed to wake up tomorrow? I forgot.
All right, great. This is going to be...
Okay, good night. Goodbye.
Oh, man, this show is going to go off the rails really quickly. Before we get started, I'd like to do a roll call. Tommy's here with me. Tommy?
What's up?
Alan's here with me.
Present.
Scott's here with me.
Sup?
Nobody knows you. It's okay.
They do now.
All right, so where do we get started? This is a very uneven and very wonky game. It ended in a... equally drunkard, lit way. Tommy, what are your impressions of this game as a whole? Let's start general and vague and go into specifics later, but...
I thought the game overall was garbage, but, you know, they eventually picked it up. I thought the fourth quarter was played really well. Both teams... It's not like Philly completely faded. They actually had some good plays in the fourth. So, overall garbage, but the fourth, I thought, was pretty competitive.
Right. Alan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. The first... half looked like the guys were not necessarily partying last night, but possibly partying last night.
With each other?
Yeah, probably. For whatever reason, they didn't come out with the same energy or focus. And then, you know, Philly didn't look very good either. But like Tommy said, in the second half, couple big plays obviously got some energy going. I think the crowd was pretty tame to start, so these young guys feed off of that energy. They got going, and the game took off from there, and thankfully it ended up being played pretty well.
Sky?
I think it wasn't until they actually realized that this was getting to be a close game that they turned it on. You know, first couple quarters, they're just taking it easy, maybe being pretty lackadaisical from the game before. But then in the fourth quarter, like everyone's been saying, they turned it up, realized that this is an important game, even though it's summer league, you know, time to get on the roster if they weren't already, and, you know, have some fun with it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the crowd was actually booing them at one point, right? In the first half, it was such an ugly-ass game from both ends. And it's nice to see, you know, D'Angelo had a very uneven game. He hit the game winner, obviously, and showboating a lot on the screen right now, as we see. But even with that said, he just had an uneven game the entire game. He's turned it up a little in the end of the third, and that's really what drove us into the fourth. And then he took it from there. But overall, it was garbage, hot garbage, but... it's nice to get the win. We're 2-0 now. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. We're probably going to say lit like multiple times tonight. Tommy, can you let me know what your girlfriend told you today regarding that word?
I'm not allowed to say lit anymore.
Why?
Because I don't know what it means.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure we saw the manifestation of that on the court tonight. So I guess let's go down into specifics. What did you guys think of, I think, tonight's MVP? People are going to say D'Angelo because of the game-winning shot and the last flurry he got in the fourth quarter, but I think we're all in agreement here that it's Nance Rader, Larry Nance, Lance Nance. Tommy, what did you think of Larry Nance's game today? He was pretty much all over the court.
Larry Nance was, he was the best player. You know, he's just a really, he plays super in control. He never does anything that is what, and he always says it when you listen to him in the post-game interviews. Like, he never goes beyond his skill set. He's like sort of a poor man's Aaron Gordon, but he knows where he's going to get his shots. He's not going to create for himself, really. He's going to make his impact on the defensive end and, like, you know, scrappy points and, like, wide-open jump shots being set up by his teammates. And he was the only guy who was playing 100% the entire night. Everybody else was sort of, nobody knew what was going on in the beginning, and he was the only guy who was trying to keep the team in it.
Yeah, he was the only one sober. Everybody else was drunk. Yeah. Larry Nance had 13 points on 4 of 9 shooting, hit another 3 at the top of the key, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 7 steals, 4 blocks, 5 turnovers. Obviously, those 7 steals is because everybody was turning the ball over tonight.
But some of those were clean strips of Ben Simmons.
No, for sure. Yeah. He was very active everywhere. And Larry Nance, obviously, the play of the game. Well, actually, he had 2 amazing dunks. One in transition where he got the rebound and literally just took the ball all the way himself and did his Statue of Liberty dunk. And the other one was the amazing pick and roll with D'Angelo Russell, where he pretty much one-upped Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant's posterization on Zubats. Alan, what did you think of Nance today?
First of all, I want to say sorry for posters. I need to do a better job on defense.
It's okay, Zubats. Larry Nance will console you.
Okay, goodbye. As far as Larry, yeah, I thought he was the only one who was mentally engaged throughout the entire game. He was giving maximum effort, just like he always does. He looked really fired up in the first half, kind of yelling at guys, getting on them for not being where they're supposed to, which is good to see. You know, I think he's the most vocal on our team thus far, and he probably carries the most credibility from a basketball IQ standpoint. So, you know, it stands to reason that guys should be listening to him. And as far as his output and his play, it was definitely reflected in the stat line. And like Tommy said, he knows how to play within himself. When he gets the rebound, he can recognize that the defense isn't set, and then he just pushed it himself, had those 2 monstrous dunks. If he didn't have those, if he didn't convert, I'm pretty convinced we would have lost that game. So he was critical to that comeback.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it in our last podcast how you see Nance almost becoming, like, embracing this team captain role. And it's very apparent to see. I mean, he's probably one of the oldest guys on our team outside of Anthony Brown. But I just like Nance's approach to the game in general. He was very active. He was teleporting everywhere on the court. And for once, we're actually seeing him go outside of his comfort zone, dribble the ball a lot more. He's still a little hesitant at times, but now that he has Mermoz backing him, Luke Walton backing him, he's taking jump shots, dribbling the ball. So I was very encouraged by Nance today, and someone on Twitter was like, am I crazy to think that Larry Nance should start in the actual regular season over Randall? Tommy, any thoughts on that? Alan? Scott?
I don't think it's that crazy, but, you know, we gotta wait and see.
Right.
If it were to play out that way, I wouldn't be shocked by any stretch, but, you know, we'll see how Julius does.
I still think Randall has way higher upside.
Sure, sure.
But in terms of who do you want to start, it doesn't really matter, I guess, because, I mean, Nance could start and Randall could play more minutes.
Yeah.
But I think Randall is, he has more upside, and if he ends up fully developing and getting rid of this all of his bad habits that we hate, he's going to be he should be a better player.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This year, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Nance started. Because the bench needs more creators, and Randall's a creator, and Nance is like the perfect, like, complimentary player. So if you're going to start D'Angelo and Ingram and Clarkson and maybe Dang, like, why not put in Nance too?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everything he did today, be the garbage guy, clean up after people, and then be a great roller and just dunk over people, and even show a little bit of mid-range jump shot and a three-point shot is pretty much all we need in the starting lineup, with clearly D'Angelo, ball-dominant guy. Ingram would probably get more usage than we've seen him in the summer league right now, so we could use Randall's creation off the bench for sure. Scott, any thoughts on Larry Nance, your impression of him?
I mean, this is going to be an obvious statement, but obviously that fool has hops.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, just from an energy standpoint, the fact that he can dunk so hard and block so hard, like, that just gets the rest of the team even more excited. So regardless of the fact that he was hustling to the ball and playing 100% the entire game, just those few blocks, those few dunks that he had, even when Lakers were down by double digits, really energized the team, I think energized the coaches. And I think, you know, bringing him off the bench wouldn't be too bad, having him as, like, that energy guy. I agree that, you know, Randall's more of a facilitator, but, you know, whether you're starting or benching him, I think having Nance on your team is definitely a pro.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all in agreement that either way, Randall's going to have to show up this summer. Obviously, we can't see that right now because he's not playing in Summer League, but Nance has thrown down the gauntlet and said, I'm ready, you know, I've improved and I'm going to show it. And it's a very encouraging, and I like your point, Scott, that Nance is a guy who can shift the atmosphere really quickly with some of his highlight plays and just his activity. When the guys are like all dead and not playing defense and looking around, he's the guy who rights the ship here, and I'm really glad that he's on our team for sure. You could tell he's a total Mitch guy, and thank God we have Nance Rader. All right, let's move on to, I guess we can go straight into D'Angelo Russell. Like I said, uneven. Tommy, what are your thoughts on D'Angelo?
He played terribly for three quarters of the game. And he just sort of picked it up in the fourth. He hit some big shots, but I'm getting kind of annoyed. I mean, we won the game, and he played really well at the end, but I am getting kind of annoyed with his whole, I'm going to play it too cool for half the time. You know, like, although I think Tom Penn is completely stupid, there was something, like, there's something to his, like, okay, I need to be assertive. Like, D'Angelo has to show I'm a second-year player. I need to be assertive, and I'm better than everybody here, so... And when D'Angelo comes out and just messes around, it makes him look so stupid. I don't know what he's going for, but he looks so stupid when he plays like that. So I wish he would take it more seriously because, you know, him playing better. I mean, he made some comment in the pregame interview where he was like, well, now I know I can score when I need to, so I'm going to try to do other things and let the game come to me. Or, you know, he made some comments like that before the game, right? But if he scores, or if he just if he just plays basketball well, it's going to make the game easier for all his teammates.
Yeah, I think the main problem tonight, and this might be going back to the general sense of the game tonight, was we got into the shot clock way too late every single time, and I felt like we were running Byron Scott's system again. Yeah. And a large part of that was D'Angelo's fault because one of the things that we hated the most last year from him was that he kept cornering himself on the baseline or near the sidelines and having these guys just corner him, and then he'd stop his dribble all of a sudden, and then the shot clock would be down to 7 and we're hoisting up like a desperation shot. So it was really frustrating to see them revert back to ISO ball and then just not initiating the offense fast enough and not knowing what they wanted to do. There was a lot less movement off the ball, a lot less, I don't know, these guys were clearly drunk. Nobody was asking for the... Nobody was, like, stepping up and saying, okay, well, if there's nothing going on, then I'll post up and really ask for the ball, you know? And that was kind of disappointing to see. Something that I wish they would do more is actually play Ingram and D'Angelo in the pick and roll a little bit, because you know Ingram can shoot the ball or he can roll. But I guess that wasn't part of the game plan tonight. But, Alan, what are your thoughts on D'Angelo tonight?
Yeah, as far as initiating the offense sooner, I remember last year there were so many times where the first pass wouldn't even occur until there are about 11 or 12 seconds left on the shot clock. So they would waste literally half the shot clock doing absolutely nothing. And that happened a number of times tonight, which was incredibly frustrating, especially after yesterday when they initiated it around 18, 19 seconds to go on the clock, you know? So there's so much time for things to develop yesterday, whereas, like you said, today, there's no movement off the ball. There was no energy. We always hear the phrase, the ball finds energy. Well, tonight the ball didn't find anything because there was none.
Yeah.
So at some point, again, you know, I would bring it back to the defense really setting the tone. Once you start forcing some turnovers, things got going. But otherwise, I agree. D'Angelo, he does play like he's too cool for school way too frequently. It's like he has an idea in his mind of what he wants to do. And at some point he realizes, oh crap, this isn't going to work. And then he just gets stuck.
Yeah.
And he has no idea how to recover. And as far as chemistry is concerned, the team still doesn't really know how to play with each other very well. So they don't know how to help bail him out.
Right.
So that's kind of the vibe I get. So let's just hope, if we're going to be optimistic here, that as they work more with the coaching staff, they can address that issue. But he kind of gets within his own head.
Yeah, I don't want D'Angelo to become this player that's just a total wild card. Well, he'll do positive stuff on the offensive end, but then he's just solely relying on his talent and then not actually focusing in on the nuances of the game, like protecting the ball, protecting each possession. Tonight, the most annoying thing from him was the turnovers once again. His handles were like super loosey-goosey. Yeah.
And even Luke said before one Summer League game was played and they interviewed him, he said he gave him a call one night and said, look, man, we got to limit your turnovers.
Right.
You know, and that was after, I think, one day of practicing.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, I definitely don't want him to be that type of player who is just a high-risk player who's going to do some good things but then give it up and cough it up on the other end. And then the other thing was his defense was like Jordan Clarkson last year terrible. He was letting T.J. McConnell had 12 points and like shot 60% from the field and almost darn near won the game, you know, because of D'Angelo, because he was like getting eaten up by screens and just letting McConnell drive to his dominant hand and going straight into the lane, which was really annoying. And I know he was getting mad at people for not giving him help deep, but there was that sequence, I think in the fourth, where Nance, Brandon Ingram, August, and D'Angelo were all yapping at each other. But at the same time, Nance was probably like, D'Angelo, you also got to just defend your guy decently.
Yeah, D'Angelo was kind of directing traffic, so to speak, to Zach August down on the baseline. But he completely abandoned his own personal one-on-one defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to a certain extent, it's good that we now have better defenders and stuff. But I feel like D'Angelo can't settle again and just solely rely on that, which is annoying that he can be mentally this fragile, you know? So I guess you see some of the immaturity still there, but hopefully that'll be shored up. Scott, what are your thoughts on D'Angelo tonight?
I mean, every quarter kind of carries the same weight. It's not like the fourth quarter you get extra points for certain shots. So I think him being, you know, his second year in the league, there's no more Kobe. He has every chance to have this be his team as anybody else's team. And so I think he really needs to start setting the tone early on, you know, whether that's being a facilitator, whether that's, you know, his defense or lack thereof, his Harden-esque defense.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. But, you know, he kind of showed some Harden-esque tendencies. And I think since this is Summer League, now is really the time to make some mistakes and take some risks, whether that's on defense, whether that's, you know, running a different style of offense, because I'd rather get all those turnovers on his standpoint or from his standpoint and others out now rather than, you know, start the season 0-10 and he's averaging 4+ turnovers a game. So I think from that standpoint, he really needs to, you know, start manning up, taking ownership, you know, try having the mentality like this is my team just as much as anybody else's and, you know, leading by example.
Good points. Okay, so let's turn the ship around a little bit just because D'Angelo actually won the game for us and it was exciting. We were all clapping, high-fiving, lit. Jordan Clarkson ran out onto the court and hugged everybody, hugged his buddy D'Angelo Russell, and now we're looking at a tweet from Jordan Clarkson who had to correct his spelling of veins because he said ice in his vines.
Yeah.
And now he sent out a tweet correcting it with the asterisk V-E-I-N-S. Very important. So Tommy, can you give me some positive things that D'Angelo did tonight that you liked? Oh, okay, geez. Well, of course he hit the game winner and he pretty much led the comeback.
He hit the game winning shot.
He hit a game tying shot and then a game winning shot. That's clutch.
I like that when it seems like the game gets close, he showed signs of this during the season. He doesn't get scared.
Yeah.
He wants to take the big shots.
Right.
Which, that's what you want, like, your potential future star to do. Whether or not he's going to make them at this stage is kind of irrelevant. You just want him to want to take those shots. Like, Ben Simmons doesn't want to take those shots. That's fine, because he's, like, a different type of player. But it's really good that D'Angelo wants to take those shots. Other than that, though, I mean, I don't know. I didn't.
For me, not to sound like super Byron Scotty, but I almost kind of wish, there's a part of me that wishes he didn't hit that game-winning shot, because it almost, I think in his mindset, almost erases all the bad crap that he did this game, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm still the bomb, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it was fun, but at the same time, I also wish he learned a lesson. Look, if he can learn from this and they really talk, I think our coaches are good enough that they'll sit him down still and be like,
for sure they will.
Hey, D'Angelo, that was great, but... So, I mean, at least we can rely on that. So
they're going to be hard on him.
Yeah. So, Alan, what are some positives that you saw from D'Angelo that you liked?
I would say the mentality at the end of the game. You know, basically the same things Tommy said. He's willing to kind of own up for all the crap that he did in the beginning. Like, he even said to start his interview, I played like garbage.
Said in a different word, but yes.
He did, but, you know, we got some young viewer listeners potentially. Yeah. So he definitely recognizes he didn't play well, and I'm sure there's a redemption factor there at the end, and I suppose that's promising. You know, it shows some character on his part. Other than that, I mean, unfortunately, yeah, the whole game was kind of characterized by his turnovers and his poor defense.
Yeah. Okay, I've got a positive, because outside of the game winners, the only other highlight we had before the third quarter was that dunk cocked it all the way back. I didn't know he
I forgot about it, too.
I didn't know he could cock the ball that behind his head and hammer it down. I mean, he did stick the landing. He almost injured his freaking knee, but outside of that...
He tested, like, weirdly high with his vertical, didn't he, during the combine? Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see that maybe, you know, his off-season workouts have helped his legs and be more confident in doing that stuff. So that was a very athletic move by D'Angelo. And then, obviously, I liked the pick-and-roll action he had with Larry Nance. It seems like they have the best chemistry with each other in terms of pick-and-roll, pick-and-pop, all that stuff. Yeah. Hopefully, as the week goes on, he'll have more of that same chemistry with Brandon Ingram, but we'll see. Otherwise, you know, it's good to know that his three-point shot is still very much intact. You know, he only took one shot, one three that he made last game, but he made maybe two or three, three threes tonight. He had 22 points, 8 for 20 shooting, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, but obviously 6 turnovers. But, you know, he did some positive things. He scored, obviously, at this point. He is more Harden-esque than maybe Curry at this point, but he did some positive things that I liked. He's our leader. He just has to kind of be more mature. Scott, your positives on D'Angelo?
I mean, 8 for 20 is not the best shooting, but at least he's still willing to keep on shooting. You know, it's always important when your point guard who's trying to, you know, drive momentum forward continues to shoot, because, you know, Kobe could start 0 for 10, but, you know, that 11th shot, all he has to do is make one, and then the rest just keep on sinking. So I think the positive is that, you know, even though he didn't play too well, had some turnovers, shooting could have been improved. You know, he kept on shooting towards the end, was feeling it. I think he just needs to be more consistent. But overall, you know, he had some good things to take away from a, you know, confidence standpoint.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to our rookie, Brandon Ingram. He didn't have the best start. He had the worst start, actually. It was a complete flip from last game where he started like 0 for 5, 0 for 6 or something. But once he got back into the fourth quarter, he finally found a rhythm again. Tommy, what are your thoughts on Brandon Ingram this game? And is there anything you wish he had done differently? Or was it just you couldn't really take anything away because it was such a crap shoot?
Yeah, it was such a... The game was so rough, it's hard to take anything away. There were a few... The refs in this game were really weird, right? Like, they were calling some ticky-tack fouls and then blatantly missing horrible fouls, right? So I think, like, Ingram started the game 0 for 3 or 0 for 4 in the first quarter, and three of those, I think, were drives that he tried to get into the lane and put up a shot and got the crap knocked out of him and couldn't do anything, and I think that sort of discouraged him. He never really got in a rhythm, because when he came back in, it was, like, the end of the second quarter, which was horrible. And, you know, they finally drew up a play for him, like, with 5 minutes left in the game, and that's when he hit his first shot.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I could say I wish he would do anything differently. I thought he did everything he could, given that he's an off-the-ball type of player so far. But, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a growing process, and I guess maybe the criticism would be stick with it, even if things start off the way they started off tonight, and just keep firing it up, because you're our best or second best could be our best player one day.
Yeah, but I just want to segue really quickly before we get back into Brandon Ingram. But can we talk about that out of bounds play? Because I know we were giving Mermoise a lot of crap throughout the game, because it's like, man, this looks like Byron Scott. But at least we saw glimpses in timeouts. That's what you want to see, right? Yeah. If it's disorganized and they're just playing one or two simple plays, at least in the timeouts, that's when they should get organized. And in that play, I think Brandon Ingram finally went off a curl, went off a screen, and got a wide-open jump shot, and that was positive to see. And then on either his second-to-last three-pointer that D'Angelo hit, or was it the last three-pointer? It was. His game-winning shot, someone hit a pinned-down screen and really stopped D'Angelo's man from getting to him. So I thought Mermoise did a good job, at least on the timeouts, really setting up the plays, and the guys really responded. So that was good to see. Alan, what are your thoughts on Brandon Ingram today?
I think he just needs to keep going at it, regardless of what's going on. Like Tommy said, he missed his first few shots, and I mean, he's not the only one who was guilty of fading, you know, in the first half. But at the same time, you got to be responsible, you know, for your own energy level. So while the rest of your team may not be putting it out there, you just got to go for it. And I was keeping my eye on him and kind of ignoring whatever else was going on, and he was standing around a lot too. I guess it's easier said than done when the rest of your team is incredibly stagnant and you're, what are you going to do? You're just going to run around there by yourself when no one else saying bat picks or anything like that. So, you know, like Tommy said, scoring process. Yesterday, he had a lot more opportunities to post up, take guys off the dribble. And tonight, I mean, maybe you could credit Philadelphia's defense. They definitely had a longer lineup than New Orleans. This team played all last weekend together. So it seemed like defensively they were a lot more effective. So that's got something to do with it. I didn't want to bail him out too much in the fact that it was a back-to-back. But I feel like Ingram also got bumped around down low for sure. Some of those could have been missed calls, but yesterday he was just blown by guys easily. So, you know, it's bound to happen.
Yeah, I think tonight is where you saw the weight issue come into play, because he wasn't able to easily blow by his man, and once he gets bumped, it's kind of over from there, and you kind of just have to hope he gets the foul call, right? Because last night he had a much smaller guy. But in terms of Brandon Ingram, I'm glad that even though he started off 0-for-7 when he came into the fourth quarter, he hit 3 jump shots. You know, at the very least, you know this guy's confident in his shot and he can hit it. So for me, I just wish that he can, like he said, he's been working on be more vocal, and he was a little bit vocal, but I wish that he would kind of take the charge and reins from D'Angelo a little bit more. We saw this problem in Duke, right, when Grayson Allen just kept hogging the ball and he kind of just let Grayson Allen do that. It's going to be even worse because D'Angelo is like better than Grayson Allen and he's going to have license to do that. So I wish Brandon Ingram, as the days move on and go forward, that he would just be like, yo, give me the ball. I'm going to set up block in the post here. Just give it to me. Be more aggressive with it. And, you know, part of this is the coaching staff. I don't know what they told him tonight, but obviously, like Alan said, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for him. I know Luke in the offseason said he wants to see Brandon Ingram even bring the ball up a little bit more. Given how sloppy D'Angelo was with the ball the entire game, I'm surprised that they didn't give Ingram more opportunities to bring the ball up. He had one opportunity pretty much in the fourth, and that was it. But other than that, there's really not much to take away from this dumpster fire of a game for Brandon Ingram. You just hope that with the close that they had and just winning, that'll just help his confidence even more. So, Scott, what are your thoughts on Brandon?
I mean, it's his second game. I try not to look too much into it. You know, I just want him to be a sponge. Learn from, you know, other players that have been here before. Learn from the coaches. I think, you know, part of the reason why he was a little rusty might have been because he was going against Ben Simmons. You know, the whole 1-2 debate, you know, just going against that sort of pressure, having a bigger crowd today than yesterday, I don't know how much that influenced him. But again, as long as he's learning and making constant improvements, he's not going to be perfect. He's not going to make all his shots. So I think if he just tries to maintain his confidence level, like any progress forward is good.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's close out our player analysis with the other rookie, Zubac. Alan, what are your thoughts on Zubac's game tonight? Obviously, he was kind of phased by that Jeremy Grant posterization where he quote-unquote kind of jumped over him. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on Zubac tonight?
He looked a little tired to me. Yeah, he wasn't running up the floor with as much burst and speed. Granted, the entire team was guilty of that. I will say his level activity down low, trying to get offensive rebounds, was great. He got his hand on the ball a lot. He just wasn't able to secure the rebound. There was one time where he almost had an offensive rebound, but someone basically just ripped it out of his hands from Philly.
Yeah.
So that would definitely allude to his upper body strength at this point. He's just got to get in the gym and work out. He'll be fine. So I was still impressed with his activity on the glass, even though it may not be showing up in the stat sheet. Still set some really great screens. He's got that sturdy base. He gets really down low. I think he only had like one moving screen, and it wasn't even that egregious. So that's still good to see. He hit that one like 18-foot jumper.
Yeah.
That was great. I saw him step out there, and you're thinking, all right, let's see if this guy does it. And he took it right in stride. There's no hesitation whatsoever. It was really sweet. But he looked a little bit tired, I would say, that to that. So maybe he should add something to his breakfast besides Honey Nut Cheerios, get a little bit more protein, you know. I don't think that's enough carbs for him.
Ask Larry Nance for some advice at midnight.
Dude,
you gotta make that pasta noodle soft, man.
Hey, Larry,
kind of tired during game. Can you tell me what to eat for breakfast? Because you play very hard, and I like the way you play. By the way, I also love Lakers. thank you.
How many days or months will you give it to Larry Nance is just tired of this fool? Because right now they seem like chummy BFFs. Yeah. And, you know, that's great that Larry Nance is taking on this big brother role, but how many days or months do we give this guy?
4 more days. I think the fact that they're in Vegas is nice. Everything's new. Everything's fresh. But I guarantee you, come next game... Like, or not the next game, but on Friday, he's going to be like, I wish I was not the first guy that he went to every single day for everything.
By the fourth time, he interrupts the huddle and taps Larry Nance to say, I love the Lakers. Like, that's going to be it for Nance for sure. All right, I think for me, you know, like you said, Zubats. Is it Zubat?
That's a Pokemon.
Zubats.
Yeah,
B-O-T-S.
B-O-T-S. Zubats.
And Mermies.
Zubats definitely was tired tonight, and you could see it. But like we said, he's still so strong. Guys are just bouncing off of him, and that's something he already has for him going for him. So, any other thoughts, Tommy or Scott, on Zubats? Nope. Okay. Well, let's go with the guy that replaced him in the fourth quarter, Zach August, with the silent E.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy. We were talking about it earlier, but him and Nance like formed this Basham Brothers kind of duo, Smash Bros.
Bash Bros.
It was amazing. He was very active as usual. Played great defense. He looked like Ben Simmons' evil twin. Really mad when he got that strip on Simmons, but call for the foul. Tommy, what does Zach August bring to the table, and do you see him making the team?
I don't know if he'll make the team. It depends on whether they try to trade for another guy in the flurry of trades that's going to be expected over the next few weeks, or whether they... I don't think they're going to sign another guy, actually. So if they don't sign another guy, I think he has a chance of making the team. He's for sure going to get a camp invite. Yeah, he's like a taller... I mean, he's less skilled than Larry Nance, but his motor is like just as strong as Nance. He's 6'10", he's got like a 7'2 wingspan, extremely active. He kind of reminds me of like a better Roni Turiaf. Turiaf eventually developed that like mid-range jumper that made him super valuable, but I don't know, something about August kind of reminds me of that. Like, if he ends up making the team, even if he only gets garbage minutes, he's going to be a fan favorite. I actually think because of the conditioning issue you guys just talked about with Zubats, August potentially could be the third center, like consistent third center on the team. I mean, Zubats won't be playing every day, so it's not like he won't be as tired as he is during these games, but August seems like he's ready to play. Like, he seems like he's in great shape and he's just ready to go right now. I mean, he's 23, so he's way farther along than Zubats is. But, he's definitely going to get a camp invite, and I kind of hope he does get a roster spot, because I think he's got some serious potential.
Yeah, we definitely need that energy, and maybe right now, seeing him play alongside Nance in this small ball front court is a preview of what we'll see with Randall and Nance, maybe, Nance and Tariq. I would love to bring on another guy, because our two frontline guys, Mozgov and Zubats, have conditioning issues, injury issues, so... Just being able to have that option of bringing in an energy type guy. I mean, when he was out there with Nance, like, balls were flying because they had their hands everywhere pretty much, and they were chasing after it, hustling after it, and it really changed the dynamic of the game. And that's really what carried the team, I think, in the end defensively. They were the only guys playing defense pretty much, so contesting every shot and whatnot. So, Alan, any thoughts on August?
Yeah, I think August is a real tone setter, you know? He hustles a lot, and he seems to... be in the right place at the right time very frequently on offense. So he finds the ball and he finds those seams for those dump passes and different pocket passes in the paint, and he's able to finish because he's a really strong guy. So it'll be nice to see if he can add a jumper to his game, just so he's a little bit more versatile, helps spread the floor, crashes the glass, which is great. Like you said, he pairs well with Larry as far as energy and as far as protecting the paint. He also seems like he has a really high basketball IQ. I mean, that's what going to college for, 4 years is going to do for you at a good program like Notre Dame. So I really hope he makes the team. And even if he gets very, sparing minutes, you need a guy like even like a Josh Powell, who we had back in the day. You know, he served his purpose from time to time. And I think August could be that for us. And he also seems like everyone on the team likes him. Seems like he has high character, so you definitely value that.
I think he also like seems like a hype man. He was very fiery.
Yeah,
today.
Man, he was like trying to pump the crowd up. He was flailing his arms around like Jim Buss was yesterday and everything. So.
No, yeah, I like August for sure. You can never like have a lack for energy guys like that, so he could definitely fill that Ronnie Turiaf role. Scott, any thoughts on August?
I mean, I just thought the thing he brought most was, like it's been said, his energy. You know, I think that's what makes him and Nance kind of the Bash Brothers. They may not have the most talent on the floor, but they definitely hustle the hardest, and I think that sometimes equates to, you know, points, rebounds, steals. So as long as he brings that, he really doesn't have any downside. He has nothing major to lose. He's not, you know, going to be their start player, but if he can be that guy to just come in like a few minutes of the game, a little bit of boost of energy, I think that can only be an upside to him. And again, like all the young guys, just be a sponge as much as possible, learn from the coaching staff, learn from the players they're playing against, you know, start getting the tendencies down of whoever they're playing and just try to translate that into a consistent everyday thing.
Yeah, and I think just because of the types of players we have in terms of D'Angelo being too cool for school at times and then Ingram kind of being too passive at times and not knowing whether he has the authority to take over or whatnot, it's nice to just have energy guys who will change the game for you. And Zach August could definitely be that. We'll see if he gets an invite. But right now, I think we all wouldn't mind for sure if he gets one of those roster spots. Okay, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. Does anybody have any other thoughts on the game in general? Anything we want to see moving forward? Open floor? Nope, everybody's just too tired. Too lit from all the litness, pretty much. I guess, what do we think of Ben Simmons? Because he was like the other guy on the other team here. Tommy?
Ben Simmons, I think, surprises me more and more the more I see him play. I think he got really unfair comparisons to LeBron. And now people are starting to be like, actually, maybe he's not like LeBron. He's more like Magic Johnson. I think that is more fair, although I don't think he's like really like Magic Johnson either. He's a super unique player. Like, he's just like a more athletic Lamar Odom or something. But when he learns how to shoot, and his shot is not completely broken, and when he learns how to shoot, he's going to be a completely unguardable beast. But he is going to struggle really bad in the beginning because he has, I mean, offensively, like, in terms of scoring. Philly doesn't have that many guys that can score. And I feel like as a number one pick, although they sort of know what he does, I think casual fans are going to expect him to be an elite scorer. And I don't know how that team is going to get points. I feel like there's going to be pressure on him to shoot. Guys are going to be like, when he caught the ball, the Lakers were running away. You know what I mean? Like, he would catch the ball and everybody would immediately back up 4 feet, you know? And
it reminded me of whenever we have to play Rondo.
It was just like playing Rondo, which is, even Rondo now can shoot threes, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, obviously Simmons is 19 or 20 or whatever, so he's going to get it with time, but I'm really impressed. His passing is not hype, it's real. Like, he has amazing court vision. I don't know. He throws those weird, we were talking about it during the game, those weird D'Angelo passes where it's super casual and like it seems like the ball is skipping really low, but somehow it bounces up to the guy, like right to the catching pocket or whatever. I don't know how he does it, but yeah.
What'd you say about what they had to take in high school, that one class?
Because, you know, both D'Angelo and Ben Simmons went to Montverde Academy.
They went to Montverde Academy, so I was like, they must have some... But I can't remember what I said. What
reverse bounce spin bowling final test. That was the final thesis. Like, you better make this bounce test or you're not graduating.
Exactly.
But apparently they passed. The only two that passed.
It's like that one movie where you have to curve a bullet.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted.
It's like Wanted. Right. Yeah, they got to spin that ball around the wall or something.
Yeah, Simmons and D'Angelo can definitely do that. I mean, his passing vision is incredible. Obviously, like, I didn't realize how... Right now, with an actual NBA defender like Nance bodying him up, he literally couldn't do anything to create his own offense for himself. Luckily, he's a smart player and he's still able to find people somehow, but it just worries me that he's not even able to make anything down low right now. But yeah, we'll see. I'm impressed by his passing vision and court vision and his leadership right now for sure. But Alan, any thoughts on Ben Simmons?
Well, we could ask him right now.
Oh, here we go. Ben, what did you think about this this game and seeing your former high school teammate, D'Angelo Russell, hit the game winner?
was really good to see my high school teammate. I know we talked a little bit about that one class we took in high school. You guys are spot on, actually. I got an A+ in the class. D'Angelo barely scraped by, though. I will say he got an A-. But I thought the game was okay today. Gotta work on my jumper. These guys are giving me lots of room. Gotta get in the gym.
All right, thank you, Ben Simmons. Scott, what do you think of Benny here? He's right next to you in the living room, but just...
That's amazing. I'm shocked that he's in the same living room as
me. How did he get here so fast?
I'm not even in Vegas.
Good eye, Mike.
He's lit minus the shooting. That's basically, like, he's fun to watch.
He's lit minus the shooting.
Okay. Yeah, he's fun to watch. He gets you rebounds. He seems like a decent defender. He had some decent post moves, too, with, you know, some spins and whatnot, so he has good control. I think he just needs to start expanding his game a little bit, you know, shorten up the jumpers, and then, you know, I love guys that could shoot threes, so maybe one day, you know, get that three-point shooting going. But again, it'll take time. It'll take time.
I think we all were saying...
Scott has a three-point fetish, by the way. We're
big man. Big man shooting threes.
Then that's why you love Larry Nance so much, right?
Larry. Yeah. Love Larry.
I think we were saying it today, though, that, like, in preseason... Ben Simmons, this is his time to take more jump shots. And the fact that he's still not doing it is kind of concerning. You know, you can do that in college, that's fine, because guys are smaller and you can still get better shots for teammates and whatnot. But summer league is the time for you to experiment, expand your game a little bit, and let's see a little more attempts, pretty much. Nobody's going to accuse you of being a ball hog or anything. He's already shooting like 25% from the field. It's not going to matter, you know.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is a lot of those misses are in the paint. Because the defense just collapses.
Right.
They know exactly what he's going to do. So he's got to get that jumper down.
Yeah, and there was some stat where he was finishing 75% or at a rate of 75% in the at the rim in college. And that's not going to translate immediately to the NBA because 6'10 with what? He has 6'10, like a 7 foot or 7'1 wingspan. He's an explosive jumper. He's not nearly as contested in college. You know, especially he was playing in the SEC, which is not like a huge powerhouse conference. So now he's going to be... The guy who's defending him is probably going to be 6'8 to 6'10 with a 7'2 wingspan. Not to mention there's going to be another center on the floor who's going to be 7 feet tall, probably.
Right.
The NBA teams are going to pack the paint. They have sophisticated defenses. You know, they're going to be, you know, small forwards on some teams who are as tall as he is. So if he... It's going to be he's going to need to, it's almost like Randall, right? It's not as bad as Randall because Simmons, I think, has much better body control and he can do other things. But if he can't shoot the ball at all and everybody packs the paint, he's going to shoot 43% this year because it's going to be so hard for him to finish at the rim because everyone's just going to be crowded in there.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I mean, that's pretty much going to do it for our podcast. We were saved by a flurry of highlights from Larry Nance, amazing dunks. We're probably all going to be watching replays of the Vines, and a flurry of D'Angelo scoring down the fourth quarter with threes and whatnot, and Brandon Ingram coming alive as well. So that was fun to see the Lakers rally around, and they may actually go 3-0 and have a good seed and maybe win the championship here, play around, mess around and win the championship, summer league championship. But no, it's a good thing. Hopefully this game kind of showed them, like, hey, we got to come in every game ready and prepared. Obviously, it's a back-to-back, so they probably were partying a little bit, probably were a little bit lit. But, yeah, hopefully they see that they can be just as bad if they're not honed in and focused because, yeah, this is what you get, a very uneven game. But with that said, before we go, we got Jordan Clarkson on the line here. Jordan, you were very lit for your teammate, ice in his veins, D'Angelo. Yeah, give me your thoughts on the game and your thoughts on your buddy.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's pretty good to be here right now. You know, I got really excited there. My boy, D'Angelo, putting up that three. Can't spell very well, though, you know. Jabari and I in Missouri, we didn't go to class too much, so I got the I before E thing a little mixed up with Vines and Veins, but... You know, I'm having a good time here. Definitely like watching my boys. So, you know, we're going to see what happens up in here.
Cool. Thanks, JC. With that said, please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. Also, please rate and review us on iTunes because the more you rate and review, That's how many slumber parties Papa Dang will throw for the young dudes, where they'll all wear their jammies and have a movie night and watch Fault in Our Stars or something. And Zubat will definitely be wearing his purple and gold jammies. I mean, he might just wear his jersey, because he probably sleeps in that every night.
While I wear jammies, I will be eating breakfast. I want you guys to tweet us breakfast suggestions so I has more energy for game on Monday. So tweet at Lakers Legacy Pod breakfast suggestion. Thank you.
Thanks, Zubat. All right, guys. Tommy, signing off.
Bye.
Alan, signing off.
See you later.
Scotty, signing off.
Deuces.
Laters, guys.
When I was struggling with battling, pushing and pulling, and wishing that Messiah would be coming soon with his deliverance, I am...
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.